Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman hanging out with you. KBN Nation at 800-990-3776. A lot of reaction on the Carbless Talk and Text line. List is more. Find us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. It's a big week. It's a big week. Damian Lillard upgraded to questionable for the Bucks. The NFL draft is in this state. It is in Wisconsin for the first time since 1939.
Oh, nailed it, Ben. Let's go.
Where it was in Milwaukee.
Attaboy.
You know where?
What did he say?
The Hilton, right up the street.
It was at the Hilton.
We had Josh from Visit Milwaukee join us, tell us all about what's going on for the draft. There's so much going on. Just know that this is big for the state, bringing people in, and it's going to be exciting. But I want to know how much excitement the Packers are going to captivate with their pick. I already know Brad's just staying. I appreciate you staying firm on your stance. Mm-hmm. But there's no way, if I put a lie detector on you, that you truly believe that the Packers are going to take a wide receiver in the
first round. No, I do. I have a deep level of conviction. I don't know what it is, but this feels like the year. There is a need.
I like that, Kyle. There's a couple guys in there. Put money on it, guy.
What are the odds?
It was plus 700.
Like, yeah.
I'll do plus.
It was plus 300. It went to plus 700. You're asking for it to get worse before you put more money on it?
Yeah, well, I have a couple bets out that I feel like I'm not going to hit on, so...
Oh, stop. You know what? Give me your ticket.
Bucks lose game one. You have a championship bet and the first round, and you're already saying...
He's counting his losses already? I feel okay about the first round. I don't think this team is championship bound anymore.
All it took was one loss after they won eight straight.
Well, you're championship bound, Kyle and Ben?
No, I didn't put money on that even with Homer with the great odds.
Do you think, I'm just thinking about the draft on Thursday night. We're all going to be there. Do you think the crowd will boo or cheer?
Wide receiver back up to plus 400. You could have grabbed it at plus 700.
Buddy. They're going to cheer or boo?
They're going to cheer. They're going to cheer. Because it's Green Bay, it's Packers.
No matter what? Even if it's O-line?
They'll cheer O-line.
No matter what, you're going to get cheers.
Listen, we are sheep here in Green Bay.
Are sheep.
No, me am a reflection of we, of the Green Bay Packer Nation, is that most of the fans are going to cheer whoever it is. Most people only know who it is. They're just going to cheer. Well, yeah. Ooh.
But isn't that the problem? This is why, this narrative in Goody we trust. We're just implicitly trusting him. But meanwhile, he has no expectation of them to even contribute.
Yeah, no. It's shameful that the fact that we don't apply pressure to Goody, but, we don't have an owner who has to worry about pressure.
Pressure's being applied by the results of next year. And if he truly believes that he's got the roster, we're going to see that. Let's hear... Two cuts from Goody, the most impactful ones. Him being asked a question about if his first-round pick needs to make an impact for this team next year.
No. I mean, I think you'd love to, but I mean, I think a lot of you guys have been around here. It's great when they do, but that's not always the case. And this is the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. A lot of times it's really determined by opportunity. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take a guy
A lot of it is determined by opportunity. And see, that I fundamentally disagree, because if you're drafting somebody in the first round, their talent should be good enough to compete at any position outside of, like, quarterback. You know, otherwise you have a bunch of spots where you need depth and can compete. And, like football's based off of, like, if you're better, if you're good enough, you'll find your way onto the field.
I still 100%. Think it's going to be a wide receiver, but do you think this is Goody tipping his hand? That he's probably going to go
O-1-D-line?
No.
Well, before Goody we react further, I do want to hear him talk about the wide receiver group, because it basically talks about more than the wide receiver group. It gives an insight into his mindset about this overall roster that the Green Bay Packers have.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel really good about our roster right now. I mean, I think that's one of the – it doesn't happen every year. I mean, every year is a little bit different. But, like, you know, if we had to go play next week, I feel really good about our roster and our ability to win and go compete. So, really across the board. So, you know, hopefully as this draft unfolds, we're able to just kind of sit back and select the best player to fall to us. I mean, that'll be, you know, I think something we prepare ourselves to be in. So, no, I don't think we've looked at it really any differently than other than certainly if there's an opportunity to take a player at that position that makes sense, we'll do it. But I don't think we feel like we need to do anything.
What is he seeing that we're not seeing? You know what I mean? Like, he's making it sound like they're the most complete team.
Well, you know what I think it is?
We already said, do y'all want me to read the definition of delusional?
No.
I just want y'all to know this is what delusional is. Delusional is where you think that you're doing something right. You think you know all the answers. When in reality, everybody around you know that you don't have the answers. That's what we're seeing.
He had said we are competitive. We can compete all across the board. How do you look all across the board at this roster and say, yes?
He said, I did that.
You know how I look at all of my Here Brads outs as my children? And maybe that creates a little bit of a delusional bias toward how good the take is or not. It's just like parents with their own kids. They think their kids are, you know, the best thing that's walking planet Earth, and they're going to be playing in the NFL. They're going to be the movie star. But you look at it and you're like, well, you're not really thinking objectively, right? You're subjectively altered by your relationship with them. I think Goody is of such the belief of his own drafting abilities that the guys that haven't hit, it's not his fault, right? Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's injury. Maybe it's something like that. But he is so convinced in his own confidence in drafting that he's like, oh, it's just a matter of time. This team is good. I selected them. It's my team. I remade it. So I'm good. But he can't see it objectively.
You know, has he looked at these guys after he drafted them and seen them go on to be successful after he drafted them? That would give him some type of validity. You see, it wasn't me. We haven't seen that yet. He hasn't drafted enough guys yet. But we haven't seen anybody go on to be successful. Darnell Savage is the only one. And I don't think anybody.
Would you consider that successful?
You think Jacksonville's like, boy, we got to steal.
No.
Josh Myers was signed for, what, $1 million?
Yeah, and he's a second-round pick. That just shows you.
Eric Stokes got signed for what? $4 million?
He got signed for less than what you signed a cornerback that you just signed for.
Beads in Milwaukee, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. You want to help Kyle out?
I want to help Kyle win some money, then he can spend $350 on baby girl.
Come on now, help me and baby girl.
All right. They're going to trade up in the draft. They're going to draft a wide receiver, and it's going to be the guy out of Arizona.
Ooh, Tedaroa, McMillan, I wish.
Yep.
I wish.
So how does that make him money?
Because he wants me to bet on receivers.
Oh, I mean, you poorly on all that, man. I mean, you're going to be in the money.
Yeah, but he won't. He'll put a dollar on it all because he's scared to do anything.
A dollar turns into $25.
It's that easy, then everyone would do it.
I mean, yeah, it's guessing.
So we think he's going to trade up, which he hasn't done since 2018.
No, we think
he's going to pick a wide receiver, which the franchise hasn't done since 2002. You want to bet on that? You want to listen to Beans?
You know what?
I said a dollar.
I'm still convinced this is the time. I'm going to reapply the invitation to you guys. This will be the last opportunity that you can join the wide receiver bandwagon. Right. After this moment right now, when Jason Wilde comes on, you can no longer claim that you were ahead of it, calling that Packers would draft the wide receiver. Jump on the bandwagon. Come on and join.
Based off my recent betting
record. Everyone's running for the hills right now.
Based off my betting record, I don't want to frustrate myself and put any of that juju on what you got with the bandwagon. So I'm going to stay away from that bandwagon.
I don't really think it's a
case.
Bandwagon. It's just a guy pulling a wagon with nothing in it.
I'm like a parade behind me. Come on, everybody. And there's no one behind me.
You know, the problem is if he drafts a wide receiver and is one that I don't like, then I'm going to be mad.
What if he drafts a wide receiver?
Oh, you're so petty.
What if he drafts a wide receiver and it's like,
you're not an NFL scout analyst / talent evaluator.
We did some research here, and
that's revisionist history.
It's not revisionist history.
It could be in a made up word document
that
you just typed.
If he drafts a wide receiver round one, and Golden is still there, or McMillan, and he drafts some D2 guy, I'll be like, oh, I want to take back my my wide receiver thing. That would be such a Goody move.
I want a wide receiver.
I've said many times, I'm not going to be putting my name on something like this. Why?
Hope. Hope, Ben.
We are well overdue for wide receiver.
That's right.
Reversion to the mean. After the man at the combine said they've been drafting defensive philosophy the same way for the last 30 years. After the man said that he's not going to change his philosophy about wide receiver in the first round.
And he said that he thinks this wide receiver group is just fine. You could play next week.
I'll say this though, Brett. If he doesn't draft a receiver in the first round, I'm going to hold my anger unless he passes on Hedaroa McMillan from Arizona. He passes on him, I'm going to be so upset. But you can find one. If he drafts one in the second round, I will be okay. First round, okay, you don't do it. All right, I'm going to wait to the second round. Now, second round, if he don't draft somebody in the second round, then I'm going to be heated. So he has the first two rounds to draft a wide receiver for me before I blow a gasket.
Jason was asking a couple of these questions. That is Jason Wilde, who talked to Goody, also hosted Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel. Jason Wilde. Let's try not to yell at him today, Kyle. How was Sunday Karma with him yesterday? Good?
It was pleasant. Jason, just don't, you know, just as long as he doesn't say anything crazy or he becomes a goot stand, which he's not the goot stand. That's his co-host, who's the goot apologist and Tauscher. So we should be good today.
We'll see what Jason Wilde has to say after hearing from Brian Gutekunst today in the media. Plus, Kyle Wallace could not have been more wrong about anything in the entire world than he was with the Bucks prediction he had on Friday. We'll hit on all that coming up.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
The Wolf of Wall Street was on the other day when I was flipping through channel. Great family film.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
Holding everybody accountable.
If you feel better about that, I'm happy to do so.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Norton.
Ben Russ, Kyle Wallace, Brad Norman, no Alex Strofe. He's up in Green Bay. So we have Chris Larson in his place running the show. Joining us right now is Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. Jason, lots of information out there from Goody's press conference and clips being sent to me. I want to get through it all with you, so let's jump right in. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I guess the thing that is frustrating Kyle most is hearing Goody talk about how he doesn't expect a first-round pick to contribute right away. Can you talk him off a ledge?
Well, I know Kyle is doing well, but why is he not doing well with that statement? Why does that bother you?
Because it sets the bar extremely too low, and when you look at the first-round picks that he has had, these guys aren't contributing year one, and that's hurting this football team. But then even more than that, they're not developing down the road the way that you need it. When you look at other organizations, I know the Detroit Lions, they drafted a lot of guys high, but those guys have turned into cornerstone or foundational players. You even look at like the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of those guys have turned into contributors. So when you set the bar as no, we don't need them to contribute, when you have holes on the defensive line, you have holes at cornerback, you have holes at wide receiver, you need to find somebody who can actually contribute right away. You don't want to have back-to-back-to-back years where you're drafting somebody and you're basically getting no production from them in year one.
Yeah, I would say the second half of what you said there, though, is the disconcerting part, right? Like, you know, they've made the playoffs each of the last 2 years with Lucas Van Ness having a minimal impact 2 years ago, with Jordan Morgan having minimal impact last year. That doesn't bother me. But if I'm a Packers fan, the second half of what you said, which I think is a very valid criticism, is the problem, right? You know, they paid, let's go back to 2019, right? 2018 was Goody's first draft. He took Jair. He's been an all-pro twice. Regardless of the situation with him now, the dude came in, contributed right away, and played at a high level, and has been a very good player for them when he's on the field. There's no denying that. 19, they have two first-round picks. Rashawn Gary, very limited production as a rookie. Darnell Savage starts as a rookie, but never develops to the second half of your point. And they paid Rashawn Gary, but to what degree Rashawn Gary has emerged and developed as an elite pass rusher, he hasn't gotten to that level yet. 2020 is Jordan Love. We all know how long it took, what the process was for him to become a starter. 2021, Eric Stokes started a bunch of games as a rookie, didn't develop into a very good player. He had injury issues, I get it. But there's a reason why he took a one-year prove-it deal with the Raiders and why the Packers made no effort to re-sign him. 2022, Quay Walker was an opening day starter. I think he started every game as a rookie that he wasn't getting kicked out of. But again, where is his development at? I am, you know, I may die on this hill, but I am a believer that he was turning the corner last year. I was writing a story for my preview series on him at the linebacker position. And if you look at how he played against San Francisco and then Miami on Thanksgiving, I think a light bulb had gone on. Unfortunately, a couple weeks later, he hurts his ankle. But it's interesting, Goody did say, one of the things that jumped out today is that both he and Devontae Wyatt are guys that they want in 2026 and beyond. So it sounds, based on what Goody said, that they're not necessarily going to give them the fifth-year option. Instead, they want to get extensions done with both of them. So
is that a smart move? That's a surprise to me, Jason.
Well, it's not that surprising because it could also just be built out the same way he's building out all these contracts, where it's just like a 2-year front load.
Right, and so they would get probably a little bit more money than the fifth-year option would be worth for each of them, but they would have longer control, and then if they pop, they're under contract already, and if they stink, yeah, you paid a little bit more in the short term, but you're not carrying one of them with like a $15 million cap number this year and another one with a $12 million cap number this year. So that, but
Jason,
but I think
Jason, you just said something I think that is so key. Me and Brad looked at each other. If they pop, we're talking about year four popping? Like, how long does it take to, like, how long are we supposed to give these guys? This was college football. You're talking about, we're going to wait till the red shirt senior year, fifth year.
Well, if this was college football, they probably would have transferred twice already.
100%.
But that's a fair critique. There's no doubt about it. Now, you know, is it a lot easier to get guys that pop when you're drafting fifth or eighth or 11th?
Yeah. Or 13th.
As opposed to Quay Walker was 22nd. Devontae Wyatt was, what, 28th or 29th?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different there. But no, look, the criticism of Lucas Van Ness is extremely fair. I mean, he's the 13th overall pick. The guy that went two picks later in the pick swap to the Jets.
10.5.
Will McDonald, 10.5 sacks. You know, the pride of Pulaski High School in Milwaukee. And then was it Waukesha North after that?
I think it was Waukesha North.
So my point is that your critique is not unfair. But to me, the bigger issue is at what point do these guys develop? I don't have a problem with guys not contributing right away. I have a big problem with guys not becoming really good players, because that's the point of being a first-round pick. And so I don't think you're off base there. I just wouldn't be bothered by, you know, if they draft an edge rusher and suddenly, you know, both Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness play to the level that they should as first-round picks, you know, to the level that the Smith brothers did in 2019, right? They didn't need Rashawn Gary that year because Preston and Za'Darius Smith were awesome as pass rushers. So, again, that is not a concern for me, but I do think this, and I think we all need to come to grips with this, that when Goody says stuff about, you know, we have everything we need with the pass rush or how good he feels about the wide receivers, I don't think that's just saying nice things about the guys on his team anymore. I thought that maybe that was it, but he had a line today, and I don't know if Wooly clipped it or not, but I just got done typing it into my story, and that is, if we had to go play next week, I feel really good about our roster.
I feel like I've played it 10 times because I can't get over that. Because it told me, and I think you have the same takeaway, is he's not blowing smoke. I think this man truly believes, based off
correct.
His quote in the question that you asked him at the end of the season, and now doubling down now, that the guys in the building and the guys on the roster, he truly believes there's enough.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, Ben. Like, I had been maybe in that crowd of saying, well, you know, I think I said it to you guys, well, what the hell is he going to say, right? You didn't sign a free agent pass rusher, so you kind of have to say, we feel we can get it done with the guys we've already got on the team, right? You know, you got to say that because that's all you got on the team. Now, again, actions matter, and he had a bunch of edge rushers that came in for visits, and some of them are first-round talents that he may pick. You know, the Georgia kid, Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart and his 9.99 RAS score, which Goody says they don't use that. Which
he has his own. Okay. I was told he has his own
right.
score that
and
they put together.
GAS score
again, right? Which again was I was kind of like, I mean, you okay? So you don't use that specific mathematical equation, but don't. I mean, I was glad that he expounded, because when he first said that, I was like, oh no, come on. We all know that you care about that stuff, but. I guess my point is that he clearly does believe that, because otherwise you don't keep blowing this smoke, right? Like, notice what he said about Jair, right? He definitely curtailed his answer about him now. Now it's, well, he's on the roster right now. Like, he finally said what usually people say, as opposed to his proclamation that they, if he's not going to be helping us win games, then we'd like to get something in return for him because we've invested a lot in him. Like, to me, That was more interesting to get a glimpse into. Okay, they're done with him. It's just a matter of how, not when. Whereas mm-hmm. the other stuff, he really does believe in what he's got on his roster already.
Jason, I want to go back to the comment about the first round draft pick contributing. You mentioned that you're okay with one, maybe necessarily not having a big contribution round one or year one. But don't you think they need to, because Goody has elected to craft this team on an ongoing basis as a young roster? So if you're a young roster, that means you got to play and play now. And even he, I believe it was Ron Wolf that said, you know, only what, 1.6 guys per draft class get that second contract?
No, that's Goody that said that.
Oh, Goody said that. So even more so, that the guys you're going to have for the long term are very few. So those first four-ish years of your contract, they're critical. So don't you think with a young team, plus a sense of urgency, don't you think, you know, you would expect more contribution out of a first-round draft pick?
I mean, he does go on to say that you would love for that to be the case, right? He does say the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. Most of the time, a guy's impact his rookie year comes down to the opportunities that he had more than anything. So, look, if he's drafted at wide receiver, let's say they draft McMillan, right?
I'll go crazy. Yeah. I may go straight.
You know what you'd be doing? You'd be doing well. You'd be doing well. But let's say it's him, right? You don't know when you're going to have Watson back. You got questions about Romeo Dobbs. Like, he could come in and play right away and have a huge impact, right? Especially since you'd have to trade up to get him. But, you know, looking at where they're at on their team, I don't think if you drafted a linebacker, he'd play right away. We know who their starting five offensive linemen are. Defensive line, yeah, you could probably get a guy that could play right away, but not necessarily a requirement. Running back, you don't need. Quarterback, you don't need. Safety, you definitely don't need. And while you might want a guy that could come in and start day one at corner, I think they really like Hobbs. That's why they paid him. They really like Nixon, and they really like Valentine. So if those are your three corners, and then you got this bunch of safeties along with your first team All-Pro in Xavier McKinney, like, I don't look at their roster and say, they got to get a guy that plays day one at this position. I don't see that. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have improvements to make on their offense or on their defense or on their roster as a whole. I'm not saying that. I'm not on board with if they lined up with this group. If Goodell showed up and said, hey, in exchange for putting the draft in your little podunk town, you don't get to pick any players, I don't think that would be good for them. I'm not on board with Goody's position. Hey. That they could win, you know, that they could be a Super Bowl team if they don't add anything in the draft. But we have seen guys, it doesn't have to be the first round pick. Edgerrin Cooper wasn't a first round pick. There's no denying the impact he had. Evan Williams was a fourth round pick. There's no denying the impact he had.
Totally agree. So, the likelihood is, I mean, based off trends, that there's a better opportunity in the first round, but he's done well in the later rounds as of recent.
Right. So my point is that that's not the part that would get me bent out of shape about Goody and anything he said today. I think the part that would bother me as a Packers fan is the point that Kyle made.
Yeah, and I want to stick there, Jason. As Jason Wilde's with us on Kyle, Brustin, Ortman, you mentioned the development, and we've gone through a couple of the guys from 18 to 19 to 20 to 21. What do you like, as somebody who's been around the team for this long, like, what do you attribute that to? Like, the coaching or the talent?
I mean, it's the answer is always both.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's always the primary, that's the first thing that anybody would say. But I would say that, you know, there have been players that have played a lot in their first 2-3 seasons, right, from the 22 and 23 draft classes in particular. And then you've got the 2020 and 2021 classes that each have one guy left in Jordan Love and Isaiah McDuffie. But I would say they've missed on picks. Just because guys play a lot doesn't mean they're good, right? They may have some production because they play a lot, but that doesn't mean they're good or special. And so, you know, from a developmental standpoint, like, that's why I just think this year is such a crucial year. I think it's crucial for Goody and LaFleur, obviously. But, you know, look, I know Jordan Love does not lack for confidence. And I understand he dealt with some injuries last year. I'm not discounting those. But one of the things that I like best about Jordan is that he's not a finger pointer or a spread the blame around guy. Mm-hmm. And even with the drops, he would say, hey, look, I was not accurate enough this season, and I made it even harder for those guys. So I look at him as a guy who, when I say he's got to play better than he has, I don't feel like I'm disrespecting him at all. I feel like I'm saying the same thing that he would say, that he's got to be more mobile, he's got to be more accurate, he's got to make some more big plays. And so he's a guy that – but he's not the only one either, right? These wide receivers that they have on this team, they have to make a jump. Luke Musgrave has to make a jump. Like, these are guys that have been here and been on this roster now for three.
How many guys can jump?
Yeah, that's a lot of hope in jumps, don't you think, Jason, for this year?
I mean, Brad, you played in the league. Like, sometimes the light goes on at different times for different – and believe me, I'm not a Goody apologist here. Right, and Musgrave,
most of the time you can see it though, Jason.
But I think we saw it with Musgrave. Like with Musgrave, for example, the issue has been staying healthy, right? I mean, correct. He lacerates his kidney, he breaks his ankle, okay? With Wicks, I think we've definitely seen glimpses of it, and I give him credit because he was the guy who was dropping passes at an alarming rate, and if you look at the numbers in the second half of the season, he fixed it.
Yeah, Jaden Reed ended up being the consistent problem.
Right. So my point is that, you know, as you well know, yes, you certainly want to be making strides year one, year two, but I bet you were a better punter in year three than you were in year two or year one, right? And so, look, I'm not saying these guys all suck either. Like, they've all had – we've seen great moments from Jaden Reed. We've seen great moments from Luke Musgrave when he's not tripping over his legs like he's Bambi. We've seen those moments from Wicks, but they have to happen a heck of a lot more for them to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency is going to be a big thing, and I think you've said it a lot, and I keep using it. It is a pivotal year for Jordan Love and an interesting year for Goody and LaFleur together. We appreciate the time. It's just day one of NFL Draft Week. We'll be hearing you all
Jason,
week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Are you joining us live on Thursday, Jason?
I mean, I've considered the possibility. What are you going to sweeten the pot in any way for me,
wow,
or am I just going out of
if just
of
coming
obligation?
To see me out of love is too much for you, Jason? Then I'll talk to you over the phone.
No, I think we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Let me put it this way: it is my intent,
all right,
to join you in person, but I need to get from the Tundra Trio back home for a little while before I head back to the stadium. So I will do everything I can to make sure that I see you in person and that you tell me that you're doing well.
I'll even give you a hug.
Nothing less than that. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Moldy with tons of insight, as this is only day one and there are so many things to dissect and talk about.
He was good.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Anytime he agrees with me is good.
I was going to say, that's why it was good. I was like, because he's like, oh, yeah,
he
Kyle, your second part about development. Let's dive a little deeper.
Yeah.
Is it the talent or is it the coaching? Is it Goody's problem or is it LaFleur's problem that these first-round picks have not developed the way that people think they should? Next. Oh, I think
that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her. Oh, I think that I found myself a
Kyle Brusted Nortman across ESPN, Wisconsin, UKVA Nation at 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. I do find this an interesting exercise. Looking back at the first round picks, since 2018, I would give him a hot start with Jair Alexander and Rashawn Gary, despite the fact that at the time, Rashawn Gary was drafted the same year that they signed Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Didn't get a lot of tick, but obviously got his opportunities and worked his way into getting paid. Got hurt, hasn't been the same since. Darnell Savage, never really developed. They picked up his fifth-year option. He was no good, and he didn't go on to have a, oh, we missed this guy career.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love, we talked about. This is where it starts to get interesting. Eric Stokes.
Miss.
Quay Walker.
Meh.
Still okay. Waiting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
and I like Quay.
Quay's the guy that like Jason described as he's productive because he just plays a lot. Like he's all right.
There's a guy that got drafted after him. I don't want to go too deep into names. A guy named Devin Lloyd that got drafted after him in that draft. Already got it, or they're talking about an extension with him, right? They want him.
Devontae Wyatt. Glimpses, flashes.
Yeah, okay.
Lucas Van Ness. I can't even say glimpses and flashes.
Mm-mm. He's there.
And Jordan Morgan, TBD. So really the conversation became, it's more of the, if you're not going to have these guys have a strong impact in the first round, what do they look like on their roster 3 to 4 years down the road? And I just, is it a talent thing or do you put it on the floor?
To me, it's talent. I mean, I'll mostly look at the players, you know, being in a locker room and,
It's not like LaFleur hasn't won football games. Well, He's winning football games with all the talent that Goody's providing him. I just don't. I'm with you. There's enough evidence to say it's the player now.
Yeah.
How many times have we fought, like, try, like, oh, 3-4 to 4-3. Now it's. I mean, I can't fall for it. It's the second year of the 4-3 under Jeff Hafley. Like, how many times are we going to fall for the, this guy's going to do this? Now that this is happening.
Forever.
I mean, you're right, because when you look at it, I mean, it's not like high school or even college football where the coaching staff is teaching them technique and stuff. Like, these are pros. The coaches focus on scheme and matchups and things like that that are, it's like heady level NFL. But when it comes to beating your man, when it comes to improving route running, when it comes to... The one player could be Jordan Love. Like, Matt LaFleur might truly be able to help Jordan Love. This is what you're supposed to look at. This is how you read defenses. That's the one. But everybody
this
else...
This is why we're going to run this play. Yes. Their tendencies are X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, because being a quarterback is like being a half a coach, right, with game planning and stuff. But everybody else, it's speed and strength. It's form that you should know by now. It is making yourself a better player. These guys aren't being taught technique and whatnot. Like, you should know that already. Or if you don't have that and you want to improve, all these guys go off in the offseason to get specific individual coaching. So it's on the players. The coaches are going to say, we are going to drop you in the right spot, and then you got to go win. And these guys are not winning. Now, maybe they weren't always dropped in the right spot. Maybe Joe Barry's defense was not putting everyone in the right spot. But I know I'm of the belief that Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, generally speaking, are putting these guys in the right spot to say, okay, you have the matchup. We have what we want. Now you got to go win. You can't teach a D-end how to beat a left tackle. That dude either knows how to do it, he has the speed and strength and will and technique to do it, or he doesn't. And if he doesn't do it, he needs to go find ways to do it. It's not on the coaches to teach you form and things like that at a granular level. This is the NFL. You don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's talent. Ben, you mentioned earlier, you talk about Josh Myers. If Josh Myers was so talented, he wouldn't have got such a low contract, right?
if Eric Stokes was so talented, he wouldn't have got such a low contract, right? And so when I look at this football team, it comes down to Goody just didn't draft good enough talent. Xavier McKinney was good with the New York Giants. They just foolishly decided to move on from him, right? And you got a guy that showed you he has a lot of talent. And so coaching does matter, but at the end of the day, you got to give the guy, you got to give the coach the good enough ingredients for him to cook up something great with these guys. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is we're just seeing guys who just have not hit. You deal with injury type history as well. And when we talk about talent versus coaching, which Jaire Alexander, before he got injured and had some of those problems, they were fine coaching him up. We talked about when Rashawn Gary did pop out that one year, he was coaching helped him in that point. So we can't pick and choose when we want to say coaching sucks. Jordan Love is great, but then when a guy is a bust, they say, well, it's the coach's fault he's a bust. No, it comes down to you getting the coach somebody who can actually be coached up into being a talented player.
All right, then what level of confidence do you have in Goody coming up into this Thursday draft? 800-990-3776. Plus, if you missed it, the Bucks did not win game one, but that wasn't even the story on Kyle Brustin Ortman. Next.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA Hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of those Milwaukee Bucks, Damian Lillard upgraded to questionable.
Hey.
Bucks in six.
Yeah.
Brad Nortman is already doubting their ability to get out of the first round.
I think first round, I still have hope. Now, my bet with Homer to win the whole thing.
You should have handed him the 20 when he said to.
I might. I'm going to maintain it.
He's not going to let you buy out now. He gave you an opportunity. Kyle Wallace is very optimistic about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I am.
You said, quote, you're not concerned.
No, I'm not concerned at all.
Well, I don't know if we should listen to a damn word that you said, because this is what you said before game one of the Bucks Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Side their damn mind.
Marcus, listen, Kyle's best bet. My best bet is that Kyle Kuzma goes out there and plays a big role tomorrow.
What quantify that?
Three threes tomorrow.
I bet you the over-under's probably 1.5, and he doesn't even go up to 2.5.
Kyle Kuzma tomorrow's going to score 17-plus points.
All right,
17
all right.
Points.
All right, let's do this. Go.
17-plus points for Kyle Kuzma tomorrow.
Wow.
They AI'd me, bro.
No.
Damn, what? Audio AI. Strophe is so good with AI in me. That is
have
crazy.
You seen, you saw your boy's stat line, right?
22 minutes, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 0 of 2 from the free throw.
Yeah, he was bad,
no
man.
No rebounds,
that
no
damn
assists,
AI Kyle
steals,
trash.
Blocks, turnovers. That is what we call a 22 trillion.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst performance in playoff history. Yep. Ever.
That was awful.
Per minutes played.
That's awful.
It wasn't really?
It was so awful. Yeah.
That's insane.
Watching the game, you could tell it was
awful. Kyle Wallace had him at 17 points and 3-3.
That was AI me.
No, that was you.
No, I misspoke. I meant to say in the series. I said tomorrow.
Are you doubling down on Kyle Kuzma?
I'm doubling down. He's going to have 17 points in the series? Yeah.
I'll take the
in
under.
The whole series.
In the whole series.
I see.
I said tomorrow, like starting tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting tomorrow.
Chris, play that one again.
Series.
I think it was pretty clear what you'd said.
Side their damn mind.
Marcus, listen, Kyle's best bet. My best bet is that Kyle Kuzma goes out there and plays a big role tomorrow.
What quantify that?
Three threes tomorrow.
Starting.
Three whole threes.
I bet you the over-under's got
Yeah,
started.
Great job, buddy. So why do you feel so confident and not concerned?
I mean, listen, the Bucks can't be that bad. They can't be. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be. Giannis seemed to be, he was aggressive early on, and then kind of, you know, nobody was gelling. They didn't play great defense. It just looked disjointed. Like, if that's the Milwaukee Bucks team that we have, like, is this what we expect? And we suck. They might as well blow it up. But I truly believe that the Bucks are going to bounce
who
back.
Who do you believe in outside of Giannis?
Listen, Kyle Kuzma can't be that awful. And Taurean Prince can't be that awful. Like, all these guys, Brook Lopez even just chucking up them threes quickly in the shot clock. Like, the Bucks are going to find a better rhythm. And so I feel confident. I feel good about it. Still Bucks in six.
Penny, do you remember when you had a streak where you were, like, cursing all the bets that you went into? I feel like Kyle's on that streak now, and I'm concerned about the Bucks' first round bet that you and I both did. Because he was 0-7.
You guys had this conversation on Friday, and I was going to pull my hair out listening to you guys try and like hype up the Milwaukee Bucks into something that they're not. Now you're trying to still believe in your bet by saying it's Kyle's fault.
Yeah,
I think I have enough evidence with my eyes that I'm a little bit more than concerned about their ability, even with Dame, to win this series. They are who we thought they were. They're not that good.
You weren't saying all that on Friday. You thought the Bucks could get out of the first round on Friday.
I had said that I thought Giannis, my whole thing was I thought Giannis had the ability to beat the Pacers by himself.
Yeah, you said that.
And then I saw him go against the Pacers by himself, and he can't do it by himself.
We're going to see. I'm not going to overreact after one game because last year at the Milwaukee Bucks, when Dame hit 35 points in the first half and Bucks went up 1-0 in that series, a lot of people around here were very, very confident in the Milwaukee Bucks, and we went on to lose that series in six. Granted, Dame did get hurt. So I'm not going to sit here and overreact to one game. Everybody just calm down. Let's see what happens game two. If they get smacked again in game two, well, then there'll be some cause for concern. But right now, hey, calm down. Just let's see what happens tomorrow before we start jumping.
What's your
shit.
Big prediction for tomorrow?
I am not AI. Listen, they AI'd me and they had me sound stupid. My big prediction for tomorrow is that everybody goes out there and both teams have fun.
Oh my gosh.
You're a radio host. You're supposed to tell people, wait, based off your knowledge as a season ticket holder, what you think's going to happen.
Just in case Brad is right that everything I touch turns into coal right now or sucks, I am not predicting anything that is good with my team. I'm refusing to do it.
Make a prediction that like Halliburton goes for 35 and 10 assists and curse that side of the team, not the
Bucks.
I'll
make a prediction that Halliburton keep running his mouth. He ain't going to be able to show his face in Milwaukee no more. I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
Oh, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah. Tough.
I'm talking about the city. He's disrespecting the state that he's from. My little cousin.
How is he disrespecting the state?
Jaw jacket, talking trash like
that's just too. Competition.
No, I ain't competition. It's too much.
They beat the Bucks last year. They are a little front running.
He said, but y'all suck.
If they beat the Bucks again, how are you going to be like, you're not welcome in the city? Hey, you did what you're supposed to do.
We're sore losers.
I'm a sore loser, so I can respect that. Jim, Matt, and Molly are up next in Madison. Corey and Wally in the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. A little birdie told me Alex Stroh took a 2-hour nap and now he wants to join in the 414 hour at 4. Do I allow that?
He must have the hottest takes. Hottest ever 2-hour nap.
Dude took a nap. That's crazy. Isn't it the middle of the work day?
Nap during the middle
of the
day?
What the hell?
We're back in 2 minutes. Just what my sources are telling me.